What was once science fiction is now science fact, up to a point. Robots exist. They build things. They look for things. They replace human workers when human workers did not necessarily want to give up their jobs. And robots teach. Students at one Medford High School got to take their school-built robots into competition against some of the best teams in the world. And there are additional boasting rights at St. Mary's School because it sent two teams to the recent competition in St. Louis. They are called C4, it's an acronym, and Trial and Terror. So we have three guests in the studio with us. Catherine Dauterman is the co-coach of Trial and Terror. Welcome, Catherine.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Margot Quaddy is one of the members of TNT, Trial and Terror. Welcome to the Exchange.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. And Joshua Hewitt is a member of C4. Hi, Joshua.
Hello.
So let's start with you, Catherine. Tell us, how does one school send two teams to a championship of this caliber?
Well, it surprised us all. They worked really hard, and they just kept winning. It's been a great season. The kids have worked really conscientiously on their robots. We start out the year with a league, so they had four league tournaments, and then they went to a super qualifier. They went to the state championship. Somehow they ended up doing really well at the state championship, got to FTC West, which was in Oakland. That's 13 states, and did really well there. It was a complete surprise to us, but we're really, really proud of them.
Yeah, okay, there's a lot of acronyms that come up in here, including the names. First, FTC West, you mentioned, is First Tech Challenge, is FTC?
First Tech Challenge, yes.
Okay, all kinds of stuff. How long has robotics existed at this level at St. Mary's School?
This is our second year.
Really?
Yeah. We had our very first year with TNT last year, and then C4 joined us this year because a lot more kids were interested, so we added a second team.
So, Margot, let's talk to you as a member of TNT, Trial and Terror. How long have you been in robotics?
I've been in robotics a total of 3 years, but our first year was in a level below FTC called FLL, and which is First Lego League, where you build robots out of Legos instead. And so that was my first year of robotics, and then I have 2 years in FTC on Trial and Terror.
It sounds like you've learned a lot in 3 years. I mean, can you look back to where you were when you started building things at Lego robots and think about what a difference it is and what you've learned?
Oh, yeah. I've learned so many things. I've learned how to program. I've learned how to plan out a build session. I've learned to prototype as much as possible. Just there's so many different engineering things I've learned. It's really great.
Joshua Hewitt, let's get the acronym first for C4. Right. It's four C's that stand for something. Can you give us that?
The Computational Center for Competitive Circuitry.
Okay, so obviously this is designed to be called C4 from the get-go, right?
Because
yeah. Nobody's going to say the name with that many syllables on a regular basis. Tell us about your own experience with robotics. How long have you been doing it?
I've only been doing robotics for a year now, and it's an amazing learning experience. Aside from learning about, you know, what a robot is, what it does, and the components that go on it, aside from learning about programming and how to build functional mechanisms that are reliable, it's really cool to be able to learn how to be a part of a team and how to work as a team and be a conjoined functioning unit.
Margot, I saw a big nod from you. So being part of a team is apparently a really exciting part of this.
Well, it's a very key component because not only are we competing with our robot on the field, but you also, a big part of the competition is learning to be a team and what's called gracious professionalism and cooperation, which is a mixture of competition and cooperation, where you're cooperating not only with members of your team, but members of other teams and working together to bring out the best in everyone.
Seems like that would minimize the trash talk somewhat. You're not like, you're going down to the other team, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's none of that in FIRST. That is, yeah, no.
Yikes, I feel like I said something horrible.
No, not at all. It's just not part of the culture of FIRST. Everyone's very nice.
Let's talk about how robotics is worked into to the learning at St. Mary's School. So, Catherine, give us a sense of whether this is part of classwork, in addition to classwork. How does it all work?
We're actually a team that meets, or two teams now, that meet after school exclusively. The school has some programming classes, which have helped some of the kids. But overall, we provide all the instruction, or we bring people in who help with that. The school has been very generous in terms of giving us space because this takes up a lot of space. We need, you know, tools and fields and places to build and such. They've been very generous with resources. very generous with publicity, but it's been pretty much up to the teams and the coaches to provide everything else.
We're talking about robotics teams here on the Jefferson Exchange with the folks from St. Mary's School. There are two teams that went to a world-level championship in St. Louis just a couple of weeks ago. Catherine Dauterman's the coach of Trial and Terror. These are great names. Margot Quadi is a member of Trial and Terror, and Joshua Hewitt is a member of the other team, C4. You can join us on the Exchange with questions or comments, observations perhaps. Maybe you've been around robots before. 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Margot, tell us about what some of the basics are. I mean, what does it take to make a robot? What are some of the basic things you need to start with? How much does it weigh? How big is it? Some of the real basic stuff.
So our robot weighs around 42 pounds. One of the rules of the First Tech Challenge is that at the beginning of a match, it needs to fit in an 18-inch cube. But once it starts, it can grow as big as you want.
It's almost like getting your baggage checked on the airline. It has to fit in a certain space.
Yes, yeah. It has to fit in a certain space. But then once it starts, it's almost Transformer-like. You can get kits from a company called Tetrix, which gives you a whole bunch of metal parts that can allow you to start building a robot. And then they first also suggests various programs that you can use to program your robot. But one of the bases is just getting some wheels on your robot. Start moving. Once you start moving, then you can add on things that will help you compete. But moving is a big, important part.
No doubt. Yeah, robots have to be mobile. So Joshua Hewitt, do you remember a moment in your year of doing robotics when you went, oh, that's how that works? Some real revelatory thing you ran across?
Oh, definitely. I started out not knowing very much about it. So some of the bigger teams, like there are a few in Portland, Hotwired and Batteries in Black. They're some of the best teams in the world. And they have these big, scary robots, and you can't really see the mechanisms work until you get up close.
Really?
And at the competitions, you know, you see videos online of all these impressive plays, and then you finally get to the competition, and you see you see how they do the tasks and the mechanisms inside. And that's one of the biggest revelations.
Batteries in Black, in fact, was one of the teams that went to World Championship. They're from Washington County 4-H in the Hillsborough area. I want to give some credit, too, to the folks at Eagle Ridge High School in Klamath Falls, because the Klamath Coyotes also went to the competition. In addition to the two teams from St. Mary's, Trial and Terror and C4, there were also teams from Beaverton and Lake Oswego. So not bad out of seven teams from Oregon. Two of them were from St. Mary's School, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Very unusual, I would think, Catherine.
Yes. Yeah, we were really surprised. This is the first time we've had teams from Southern Oregon going to world championships. So it was a big surprise. And then to have three was very exciting. We've had a lot of really great support from Kathy Sweeter, who's in charge of ORTOP, which is the Oregon Robotics Association up north. And she's been working really hard. And we started a league called SOAR, Southern Oregon Area Robotics. So we've been able to get teams from Southern Oregon together to practice and share ideas. And I think that's helped quite a bit as well.
So tell us, Margo, what happens at the competition? What are you there to do? And the robots have to perform some specific tasks in a certain realm, I understand, each year. So this year was about search and rescue?
Yes. There are two mountains this year on the field, and one of the main goals of each team pretty much is to get up and sort of do a pull-up on the highest bar. That gets you one of the biggest points out of the entire arena.
But a pull-up like a person does a pull-up on a bar?
Robots have different ways of doing it. As long as you're hanging from the top of the bar with no vertical support, like the robot isn't resting on anything, then you get over 80 points.
Wow.
So it's a big way to get points on the arena. But like I mentioned earlier, the robot itself isn't the only part of the competition. You have judging sessions with judges and the team where you have to tell what sort of outreach you did, like how you reached out into the community and taught other people robotics. And you have to meet with other teams because you're allied with a new team every round. So you have to make your robot work with theirs and get most points possible. So
tell me about that part of it, Joshua. That's really interesting because you get to work on a competition level, but then you get to turn outward as well and start dealing with some of the people you were competing against just a little while ago.
Definitely. It's outreach and gracious professionalism is one of the biggest virtues in FIRST. And it's a very interesting experience to be a part of a competition where not everyone is always trash-talking each other. One of the biggest parts of the competition is a robot you're aligned with may be against you next match or vice versa. And it's very interesting to be able to work with a team and be a part of that friendly competition. It's definitely one of the cooler things that you experience.
As you go through the competition, how much are you allowed to modify a robot? I mean, you got a team of how many people on TNT and C4?
Around eight people.
Around eight people on a team. So people skilled in a bunch of different tasks, I'm sure. And then as the competition goes on and certain things are required of you, can you modify the robot?
Yes, you can modify the robot throughout your off season. You go through inspection once you first get to a competition. And you can modify a robot at the competition, but if you modify it too much, then you have to go through inspection again. But that's not that big of a deal. So you can modify on the fly if you need to.
So, for example, when you guys got to look at some of the things that the other when you got close to batteries and Black's machine, for example, did you go, oh, wow, there's something we could use in ours?
definitely, but we didn't exactly, you know, copy the mechanism, put it on that competition. But, oh, yeah, we definitely look at other robots and kind of think, that's a really cool mechanism, you know. We may want to improve on the design or see how we may be able to replicate it in our own unique way.
We are talking about robotics and robotics competition with students from St. Mary's School, and one of their coaches, Catherine Dauterman, coaches the team called Trial and Terror. Margot Quadi is on that team. Joshua Hewitt's a member of the other team, C4. So we talked about the robot weighing about 42 pounds. How many different motors and gadgets in there, and what's the power source for either of the robots? Let's talk about TNT first.
So TNT has six motors and around three or four servos on it that run the robot. We have a... What type of battery, Josh?
We use a lithium-ion battery that outputs about 12 volts.
Mm-hmm. So that's bigger than a cell phone battery for sure.
But yes.
But fairly compact, I would think.
Sadly not.
It's, really?
It has the whole thing weighs a few pounds, actually, and it's fairly large. It's like the size of a... If a milk carton, if you could take that in half, it's about the size of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fairly large, and sadly, it's mostly inefficient. They kind of die through an entire year, and you have to order new ones all the time. So,
how much are the materials and the specifications of the robots dictated by the people who organize the competitions? I mean, I imagine you wouldn't be able to bring in a lead acid battery. You probably wouldn't want to because of the weight, for example.
The power source specifically, you can't. They give you the one type of battery, and every team has to use that. And so that's why we do use the inefficient lithium ion, because we don't have a choice. But the rest of the materials, like servos and motors, are restricted, mostly to the point of where the electronics that run the robot are modules that you have to buy from a standard source. And it pretty much goes that if it's compatible with the module, you can use it. The only thing that's really open to complete electronic freedom are most of the sensors. If it's compatible with the I2C interface, you can buy whatever you want and use it on your robot.
Yeah.
How different is the competition itself from what you knew 2 years ago, Margot? I mean, you talked about the 3 years you've been doing robotics. I'm just curious. I mean, given how fast technology changes in the consumer world, I have to believe that the stuff available to you for what you're doing is probably even changing potentially faster.
Yeah, every year you get new there's new electronics open to you. And over my 3 years, there's been a... programming language change every year in the first community, because they usually change the programming language every once in a while, so that way it's a level playing field. That way the older teams don't have a programming advantage over the newer teams. But in FLL, you would use a computer that had little standard blocks of code, and so that was very limiting. But over the course in FTC, the programming becomes lined code, where you get to input whatever you want, and it's much more freeing. So
it's, you know, skills that can range from welding to really having to know how to program a computer on a serious level.
Yes, yes.
All kinds of things. Catherine Dauterman, what is it like as a coach to try to keep up with the skills that these guys are going to need to be effective in competition?
Well, mostly we don't try to keep up with the skills. It's kind of funny the way our team has evolved. We started it because our son was interested in robotics. I'm an English teacher. My husband, who's co-coach, is a cardiologist. And our two mentors, one of our mentors is Margot's father, who's a winemaker. And then our other mentor is a fisheries expert. So among the four of us, we have no expertise whatsoever. but we know a lot of people, and that's been really fun. I mean, people have just been coming out of the woodwork once they hear what we're doing. They want to come down and help. So we have mentors from NASA. We have mentors from Stanford. We have mentors, engineers all over the valley who come in. Machinists have been helping us. Mike Sorensen does wonderful work for us. So all these people have come out. So it's been really exciting that way. We've learned a lot, but our main job is just to try to keep up with them, which is a lot of work.
I can see that's a task. I know you didn't come away with any hardware from the World Championships in St. Louis, but what did you get out of it? What was the best and biggest thing you would say you got out of it, Margo?
It was a great experience seeing all the teams from around the world. And getting to meet all the people, which it was just a really great experience meeting everyone. And it was also really great to see how everyone came about the challenge differently and seeing all of the world-class ideas that every team brought in. So that was really important for us to see all these new ideas and get a fresh look at it.
Joshua, same question for you. What was the best thing you took away from St. Louis?
Definitely. The cultural experience was amazing. There were 18 different countries represented at the World Challenge. And to see a part of the representing for your team is going around to your booths. A team is designated a booth, and that's kind of where you stand and represent. And it's really cool because as being a foreign country team, it's really cool to have them come to you. And not only do they present the robot and their team, but they present, here's what our culture is like. Some of the teams actually gave out a piece of trees in little bags, and they're like, "This is what our homeland smells like," stuff like that. That's really unique, and it's very cool to be a part of the culture.
Wow, what a great learning experience this was! This is the National Robotics Competition in St. Louis, and there were two teams from St. Mary's School in Medford that made it. Joshua Hewitt is a member of the team called C4. Margot Quadi is a member of Trial and Terror, or TNT, and Catherine Dotterman is the co-coach of that team. I want to thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
And congratulations.